When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. I'm Molly Karam, Shannon Sharp on the West Coast, the HOFer. Good to see you. And of course, Tim Legler, Stephen A. will be here in just a moment. How we doing, guys?
Doing pretty good. I'm in a bad mood.
Well, yeah?
We're going to get to it in a second.
Okay.
I'm in a bad mood.
Okay.
Legs and I are doing better than the Nuggets, that's for sure.
I know. Shannon, no how
doubt.
About that?
No doubt.
Who would have thought they'd be down 0-2?
No.
We had crowned them, right? My goodness. All right, guys, but let's dive in, and we start with the East Coast here. An exciting game one, a wild one, to be honest with you, between the Pacers and the Knicks, highlighted by two crucial late-game calls against the Pacers, a controversial kickball and an offensive foul call that both went against the Pacers. Another headline is the amazing play of Jalen Brunson. Let's go, who notched his fourth straight 40-point game to help lead the Knicks to a 121-117 win. Here's Brunson and Pacers coach Rick Carlisle after the game.
I'm not going thinking I need to score 40. That's not my mindset at all. My mindset is to be aggressive, to make plays for myself and for others. And so again, the paint and see what's happening. And I mean, I have the confidence I know I could score in the paint, but I know I have the confidence that my teammates are all moving and getting to open positions where they can be successful as well. And so it's just a constant communication that we have and the trust that we have with each other to do the best we can every single time we're down the court.
I don't want to talk about the officiating. We're not expecting to get calls in here. It'd be nice if they laid off that one, but they didn't. So, that's just the way it goes.
Brunson is that dude. 2024 playoff run. It's been all-time historic. Last night, he became the first player in NBA playoff history to record 40 points and 5 assists in 4 straight games. Okay. Timmy Legler, you are up first, sir. Looking dapper. I didn't get to say
Thank
that.
You.
I was focused on myself
Appreciate
getting all set up.
You.
I apologize.
Yeah, you as well,
now,
as always.
Now I'm back in the moment. Shannon, did you miss me? I'm just wondering.
As usual, focusing on yourself.
Did you miss me, though, Shannon? That's all I need to know.
Now, Christine did an unbelievable job yesterday.
Christine is excellent. Absolutely. All right. Tell me this. What's the bigger story, Brunson's performance or the refs?
I said I was in a bad mood a second ago, and I'm going to tell you why, Molly. Not because I care about the outcome of the game, because unlike some people who are going to participate in this conversation here in a few minutes, I don't have a dog in this fight, Shannon, Stephen. I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm mad because I don't want to have to be talking about this. But the answer to Molly's question is the officiating for a variety of reasons. All right, first of all, let's just get to it. Let's get to this screen, illegal screen called on Miles Turner. By the letter of the law, is that technically an illegal screen? Yes, and that's why that's not going to come up with a two-minute report as a missed call. They're going to say Dante DiVincenzo didn't have enough time to see the screen. It's a safety issue for the player. That's what they're going to say. That is one of the worst illegal screen calls I personally have ever seen. Forget the moment and the spot, which is basically a game-winning potential possession in a playoff game. I'm talking about period. At any time in any game at the NBA level, particularly when you contrast it with this, look at that screen that Dante DiVincenzo set. Show that again. Look at the screen that Dante, that's not the right angle there, you're going to see in a second, that Dante DiVincenzo sets for Jalen Brunson at midcourt. Two arms up, full body blow, hits him up in his shoulders area, and then holds on to his arm for a second or two. No call. That, by the way, preceded the missed call on the kick. I have less of a problem with that because, look, refs are going to miss that in the moment, and it's not reviewable. There's nothing you can do. That's just bad luck. But the screen call, that to me is going out of your way to anticipate some sort of contact that's about to happen and inject yourself into the moment. And it deprived the Indiana Pacers of finding out what the real outcome was going to be in the game. Hey, maybe the Knicks get a stop anyway and win the game. That would have been the best outcome, for the Knicks, because then nobody's talking about this today. My problem, guys, is this. It's not even the moment. It's the fact that the inconsistency with which that screen is called throughout the entire game. That is the problem. To then call it in that spot just compounds it. But when you look at what happened 40 seconds earlier down the other end of the floor, to ignore that screen set by Dante DiVincenzo, and by the way, that better be in the two-minute report that they missed that call. That better be in there because that is clearly a moving screen that Dante DiVincenzo. Now, it turns out Brunson didn't really need it. He wasn't going anywhere. Maybe that's why they didn't call. They said, oh, he just got a switch. He wasn't trying to turn a corner. It didn't have an impact on the play. Fine. And by the way, I don't want either of these called. I don't want either of these called. I want to see the game play out the way it's supposed to, its conclusion. It's one of the best games I watched all year. And unfortunately, we were robbed of the just conclusion to find out what was going to happen on that possession because there is no way that that foul should have been called.
It's good to see you, Tim. What's up, Shay Shay? How you doing? How you doing? You know, Tim, I mean, I'm looking at you wax poetically with your basketball brilliance, which is obviously undeniable. And there's not a single point that you said that should be disagreed with. There is no excuse whatsoever for that call to be made on Miles Turner. That was awful. You don't call that in that situation. Just like, I'm being consistent, Shay Shay, just like I said that Tyrese Maxey was mugged near the end of game two at the Garden when he was fouled at least twice in the left corner just a few feet in front of me when I was sitting courtside, just like I acknowledged that, I will acknowledge that Miles Turner, that blocking call, specifically just seconds after Dante DiVincenzo got away with one, is inexcusable. I just wish I could tell you I can't, because I don't. I'm sorry, Tim. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, Tim. I mean, look, damn it. I mean, desperate times call for desperate measures. You can't be but so choosy. And I look at it from this standpoint, Tim Legler. I mean, you're trying to act like you got no skin in this game. That ain't how you sounded last series. That ain't how you sounded last series when the Philadelphia 76ers was going up against them Knicks. You didn't sound that way last season. It's amazing. LaSalle grad, former LaSalle star out of Pennsylvania, out of Philly. It's amazing how things change now that it's a different series. So just like you could be emotionally invested last series, I can be emotionally invested now. It was not a call that should be made. They should be embarrassed. The officials are dropping the ball on several fronts. This two-minute report ain't gonna make things look any better. You're absolutely correct. But here's what I would say to you, Tim Legler. What the hell are doing being that close when your bench outscores the Knicks bench 46-3? How the hell that come? How the hell is Jalen Brunson on the court just schooling y'all? School y'all big shot after big shot after big shot. You couldn't figure out a way to stop. I mean, it's not like the Indiana Pacers didn't contribute to their own demise. They did have something to do with it. Calls here and there, I get it. But in the end, Indiana Pacers are not some innocent Abes in all of this. They should have done a better job defending and contending. They did not, even though they ought to be respected big time, as I said, coming into this series. The fact of the matter is, they did assist in getting in their own way. Shay Shay, the floor is yours.
This is why Jalen Brunson is the bigger story. Because if you look at the playoffs, although it's been early, it's only into the second round, we've always been harping on the officials thus far. See, I don't have a problem with the Miles Turner because, see, I'm not a guy that says the timing of the game should determine whether or not you call a foul. It's the same thing that we had with the UConn's women. Remember, Aaliyah Edwards set the pick on Iowa young lady, and they called a foul. The question is, would you have called a foul in the first quarter? Well, if you call a foul in the first quarter, timing of the game should not matter whether or not a foul is called. If it's a foul, call a foul. We had the same situation 2 years ago, Stephen A., with the Eagles in Kansas City, when Bradford tugged Juju. They're like, man, you can't make that call at that juncture of the game. Why not? He held him. And the official came out and he explained it. He tried, he came inside, he tried the option away, and Bradford held him. So you got to call the flag, you got to throw the flag. You got to call the foul there because it was a moving screen. Legler, by your own admission, which by the letter of the law, it was a moving screen. Jalen Brunson is the story. What this young, what he's doing, if Kobe and Jordan was doing this, LeBron, man, we'd be singing. We wouldn't even mention. Did they have officials in that game? We would even never mention officials. Even if the officials stole the ball from Tyrese Halliburton and laid it up for the Knicks, we wouldn't have mentioned. Because Kobe and Jordan would have got 43 and they scored 21 in the fourth quarter. That would have been the only story. Yes, the officiating. But the officiating has been bad the first two rounds of the playoffs. So, therefore, I'm not going to talk about the officiating. It's worse now. What Jalen Brunson is doing, back-to-back-to-back 40 pieces with five assists. And the story, what Indiana should be mad about, is they keep letting Josh Hart get on the glass because he got an offensive rebound in the and one. He missed that one and got on the glass again, legs, and got another one. So he scored 4 points when they should have boxed him out and he should have had no points and you'd have had a five-point lead. Stephen A., you're right. The Indiana Pacers contributed into the Knicks coming back and winning this ball game. I don't want to hear nothing about the officials because the officiating at points and times have been bad this postseason. But what Jalen Brunson did last night and what he's been doing all these playoffs are to be commended. I forgot about the officiating. I forgot about that Indiana had to challenge a call because they called a foul on Tyrese Halliburton and he clearly knocked the ball away. Yeah, the ball did not go off the man's foot. It went off the guy's hand. Yeah. But what y'all going to do about Jalen Brunson getting 21? What y'all going to do about DiVincenzo getting 25? What y'all going to do about Josh Hart getting 24 and 13? That's what you need to be worried about, not the last 2 minutes.
Listen, I said my piece about the officiating. To me, it's inexcusable to miss the DiVincenzo call and or let that slide or look the other way. And by the way, I'm glad they did because I don't want any of this stuff called on illegal screens late in the game. It's inexcusable to let that play go and then call that on Miles Turner. But I've said enough about that. To your guys' point about Brunson, it's really actually incredible. We are witnessing a guy turn into one of the most unstoppable offensive forces we've seen in the postseason in our lifetimes. That is what we're watching night in, night out. Now, here is where Indiana contributed to it because you both, I think, feel the same way, and I agree. Nembhard's not the answer. I don't understand the matchup. It has to be Nesmith. And look, Nesmith is probably not quite as laterally quick as Nembhard, but he's much bigger. And you need a late contest on Brunson where you can get off the ground, get your arm extended, and hope to affect his release a little bit. Take a look at the number of shots Brunson made in the fourth quarter against Nembhard, where he knocks him back off balance by putting that shoulder in his chest, and then he gets a little separation, and then he rises up, and Nembhard's got his hands at his side, or he doesn't even contest, or it's a half-hearted late contest because he was demoralized. He knew he couldn't guard him. It's the wrong matchup. You've got other guys you can use to guard him initially. I even think T.J. McConnell would be a better answer on Jalen Brunson the majority of the game. They allowed too much single coverage with Nembhard on him, and Jalen Brunson is going to get to his spot every single time you allow that matchup. Go to one of the possessions later in the game. They finally denied Brunson the ball when he gave it up, and Josh Hart had to go make a play off the dribble, and he turned the ball over that led to the breakaway layup by Siakam that gave him the lead. It was one of the few times in the game they actually forced him to give it up and then denied him getting the ball back. And I'm not saying you're going to do that every time, but you've got to make him work harder than you did. And Nesmith having more minutes on him is a far better matchup than Nembhard. And Brunson is salivating when he sees Nembhard on him. He's not big enough to be able to stay in front and contest the shot.
You totally agree. You're totally on point there. I don't disagree with one syllable you uttered. I mean, that's exactly what happened last night, and that's much to Indiana's detriment. But again, we knew coming into this series that Indiana was challenged defensively. They've been challenged defensively all year. It's just that they were so god-awful for the first half of the season that with the acquisition of Pascal Siakam, along with the season waning, they had improved somewhat where they transitioned or elevated from god-awful to awful. Well, congratulations. congratulations. Here's some cookies and milk for you. That's really what we're talking about when we're looking at the Indiana Pacers and what they are and what they bring to the table defensively. In the end, if they're going to win this series, it's going to be because of their ability to score, because they're certainly not that interested in really, really stopping anybody, which is why Dante DiVincenzo looks so confident, along with Josh Hart muscling his way through for offensive rebounds and all of this other stuff. And Jalen Brunson was just unstoppable. But there were times where Indiana was unstoppable. They're down six. The next thing you know, they're up 10 in a blink of an eye. They can score on anybody. Give the Knicks credit for making a run. Give the Knicks credit for imposing their will. Give Jalen Brunson credit for doing what he did and knock the Indiana Pacers for obliterating the Knicks bench, knowing that Tom Thibodeau only played seven, and still found a way to allow these Knicks to come back and win this game. It was there to be had by the Indiana Pacers, and guess what? They lost it because they didn't handle their business legs. The officials didn't help. I get that, but that ain't the story.
Yeah.
All right.
You gotta get the ball out of Brunson. Brunson is like a receiver. You try to limit his touches early to get him frustrated. If you look at the first quarter, he got to every spot he wanted to get to, and he got the shot up. Well, you can't let him get that confident that early, because now you got no chance of stopping him in the fourth quarter. And I agree with you, and I said this last night to Ocho on Nightcap. Nembhard is not the answer. He's too small. And when he sees him, he's like, oh, this is oxtails, this is plantains, this is macaroni and cheese, this collard greens, this cornbread. Hey, Stephen A., this is Sunday dinner. He's licking his chops when he see him.
That's right.
I get some pulled pork, That's too. Right. I wouldn't mind having some pulled pork with that meal. It sounds pretty good. I'm getting hungry now.
All right. Hey,
Sunday
dinner.
Sunday dinner on a Monday night.
Say hi to you. Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Electric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. The riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Lectric are fast, up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight, foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range, so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com. Have a great day, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns lead the Timberwolves in a Game 2 win over the Nuggets. Towns and Edwards both scored 27 points in the 106-80 win at Denver, giving the Wolves a 2-0 series lead. Minnesota is now 6-0 in the playoffs with Game 3 on Friday in Minneapolis. Here's Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns after the game.
It worked in our favor tonight, man. That's all that was. We made shots. They didn't. That's the defending champs over there, so. They're not going to come out and play like that again in Game 3. We got to be ready to take their punch. And I always tell the team, like when we huddle up and Finchie say, we got to be ready to take their punch, I say, we're going to punch too. I mean, they're not the only one punching in the fight. So, I mean, yeah, just like that. They're not the only one that's going to come out punching.
A loss like this is tough. You know, you feel embarrassed. You feel exposed. So what are you going to do about it? You know, that's my biggest thing. What are you going to do about it? Look yourself in the mirror. Have the courage to look yourself in the mirror, say, I did not do my job tonight. And be better next game. That's all I can ask of them.
Okay. Shannon, are you more impressed with the T-Wolves after that blowout win or disappointed in the Denver Nuggets?
I'm more impressed with the T-Wolves. If somebody would have told me that they were going to take apart the Nuggets like they did. I didn't think Nikola Jokic could play any worse than what he played in game one. And he had 32, but he played worse. He was 5 of 13. He had another high turnover game. They're not making shots. Jamal Murray is complaining. He wants every call. He's throwing things on the floor. He's pouting, whatever the case may be. And I don't want to hear anything about he's hurt, because he didn't look hurt against the Lakers. He had game-winning shot. He was, he's iffy, he's doubtful, he's questionable, and he scored 32 in the closeout game. So I don't want to hear anything about that. But what the Timberwolves are doing, you see the athleticism. They got nobody to be able to stay in front of Ant-Man. You got Nikhil Alexander. You got Jaden Daniels. That's hounding him. That's making it tough on him. They're making it tough on Nikola Jokic. They're not giving him anything, because, you know, he likes to play tap to the ball to himself, and every time they do it, they slap it out of his hands. He tries to go up for a shot. Karl Anthony Towns is there, or they're blocking his shot from behind. And Aaron Gordon hadn't given you a whole lot of production in these ball games. I've been fairly – look, I thought it would be a tough series. I thought it was going to be a seven-game series all along. But, boy, if the Nuggets don't pick this thing up, Jamal Murray is going to have to play the game of his life. Nikola Jokic is going to have to play the game of their lives in order to keep from getting swept. I'm way, way more impressed with the way the Timberwolves have played, as opposed to disappointed with how the Nuggets have played. Did I think the Nuggets going to score 80 points again? But I'm not so sure if they score 110, they could beat the Timberwolves, because the Timberwolves just look that much quicker than what the Nuggets look right now.
Go ahead, Lex.
Yeah, I'm confident that they said you were going to be next. That's fine.
Go ahead. I'm gonna let you go, my brother.
That's fine. I couldn't possibly agree more with what Shannon just said. And look, there's a lot there with Denver we can get into, but this is all about what Minnesota did to them, particularly in the first half of this game. Look, I've been doing this a long time, man, watching a lot of great defensive teams. I even go back to some of the teams I played against defensively, the mid-90s Bulls, the mid-90s Knicks, the Pacers of that era, the San Antonio Spurs teams, the Golden State Warriors teams that were winning championships. I'm talking about the top defensive teams in the league. I do not recall ever seeing a team on the level of the Denver Nuggets get dominated to that extent in the first half of that game. It was an absolute emasculation. That's literally what I was watching, because they couldn't control the ball off the dribble. They couldn't complete passes. They couldn't get on the offensive glass. Every single shot they took was contested by multiple defenders. They were turning their ball handlers multiple times before they got to half court. At one point, they slowed down on the slow-mo in a replay. Nikhil Alexander-Walker had cut off Jamal Murray at half court about the third time he turned him on that possession, and he had a big smile on his face as he was looking dead in Jamal Murray's eyes, because he knew where they had taken this game, where they had taken this team. The Denver Nuggets looked inept offensively. This is a defending champ. This is one of the best offenses in the league. This is one of the best two-man combinations in the league. This is a guy that's about to get his third MVP, and they looked completely overwhelmed by what Minnesota did to them defensively. I just literally cannot recall seeing a bigger mismatch with what a defense was throwing at a great offense than what I saw last night. All credit goes to the Timberwolves. They did not want to give the Denver Nuggets one breath of life to believe that they were in this series. That was their intent last night, and I think they accomplished their mission.
Tim Legler, I'm glad that you are here for this segment. Shay Shay, listen up. Yes. Listen good, buddy. I got something to tell you. I got something to tell both of y'all, okay? Now, Tim Legler, you said that you hadn't seen it. I mean, what transpired in the first half. By the way, you know, and one, that's my nickname for Jamal Crawford, that brother that retired, the sixth man of the year, three times, that brother's something special. He was on TV last night. He had the line of the playoffs, the line of the playoffs. He said this is maximum security defense. That's what he called it. He said maximum security. That's what it was. I mean, they had Denver, the reigning defending NBA champions, on lock and key. Tim Legler, you said you can't recall. Let me refresh your memory. I want you to think back, Shannon. I want you to think back, Legs. Put my brothers up on the screen. I want to see them when I'm talking to them. I want you to look back, harken back. It's 1994-95. Michael Jordan comes out of retirement, loses to the Orlando Magic in the semifinals. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember when he got a couple of turnovers? Remember when they were big up in Nick Anderson? Remember when they ended up carrying Horace Grant, who was a former Bull and now became an Orlando Magic, and they carried him off the court like he was Rocky? Remember all of that?
Yeah.
And then in the offseason, they went and they got Rodman. They come back for the 1995-96 season. They get to the conference finals against those same Orlando Magic. 121-83 in game one. Remember that, Legs?
Yep.
Remember when we watched Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and Ron Harper and these boys? The Orlando Magic could barely dribble it past half court. Chicago was on them like such piranhas. You knew at that moment it was vengeance. It was being exacted in such a profound way that I said, oh, my Lord. And here's where the kicker was. The leading scorer for the Bulls that game was Jordan, no surprise. 21 points. It wasn't even about offense, Shay Shay. It's about defense. They put them brothers under lock and key. That's what I saw last night.
Yes.
Denver couldn't do nothing. I ain't seen defense play like that in more than 35, in damn near 35 years. That's how much lock and key Denver was on. It was like that. And I'm willing to say this right now. Damn it. Give my man Big Perk some credit. He talked about Minnesota going to the finals and all of this other stuff. I think that the Denver Nuggets are on the verge of getting swept. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I'd be able to say that. I think the Denver Nuggets are on the verge of getting swept. And I believe that the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to win the world championship.
Wow.
I think they're going to win it all.
Wow.
I think they're going to win it all. I'm looking at what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Tim Legler. Put Tim Legler on that screen. I need my basketball guy right there with my man Shay Shay. I'm going to say it again. I'm looking at Anthony Edwards. I'm not saying he's Jordan. Nobody's comparing, like, he's got a lot to prove. But when you saw Jordan and you saw Kobe, that's what you're seeing right now. And that killer instinct. I'm looking at a Karl Anthony Towns. The brother was averaging 19. He dropping 27. He's sitting there shooting threes and posing. But Jamal Murray tried to elbow him. He pulling up from the right corner, then looking at him, getting stuff thrown on a court that he damn near tripped over and still draining more threes. I'm watching Naz Reid. I'm watching Alexander Walker. I'm watching the leadership of Conley. I'm watching a coach with a cracked patella on crutches, okay, with his assistant running the damn show. And these brothers are just putting it on, folks. I have not seen a defense like that, like what I saw in the first half last night. As great as Boston is defensively, it's going to require every bit of greatness from the Boston Celtics. Dallas or OKC, good luck, because I'm looking at this team without Rudy Gobert. Without Rudy Gobert, forced them to 35% shooting, 30% shooting from three-point range. Jamal Murray couldn't get off. Aaron Gordon couldn't get off. Jokic couldn't get off, and he looked exhausted. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Mr. Model Citizen, arguing with officials. I mean, Mike Malone getting an official's face. Could have been ejected. Could have been ejected.
He should have got rattled. At least a tech.
And I mad love. That's right. Mad love and respect to the Denver Nuggets. They're the reigning defending champions. They're legit. But something special has developed in Minnesota. I got the Minnesota Timberwolves winning it all, man. Wow. I got them winning it all right now. That's what I'm seeing.
Legs, you and Stephen, correct me if I'm wrong. If you look at the way the Timberwolves are playing defense, they're challenging everything. They're not letting Nikola Jokic walk him down. They're punching. Hey, he gets a couple of dribbles. They'll reach in and try to punch it from the back. Or they'll come with the double. You see Naz Reid block him twice. He gets the ball back. There's somebody else to block it from the back. They're challenging every single thing. They say, we're going to give up nothing cheap. All these loose balls, there's a difference. If you, hey, Rob Pelinka, I hope you're watching this. You see what you need? You need athletic wings. You need guys that are athletic. You see Jaden Daniels? You see Walker Alexander? You see Ant-Man? You see that? You see what causes the Nuggets problems is size. Size bothered them. Karl Anthony Towns, Naz Rodas Reed. They didn't have Rudy Gobert. The same thing that gave them problems before is giving them problems again. You need athleticism, and that's what the Minnesota Timberwolves possess. Look at this. Nothing cheap. He had 7 turnovers on Sunday, Saturday, I think. And then he had another 4 or 5 last night. Look at this. They're challenging everything. Now, we're not giving you anything cheap. Nothing. How many shot clock violations did you see? The frustration of Jamal Murray throwing things on the court, doing the money signs. Adam Silver says, I'm going to need $100,000 of your playoff money. I'm going to need that. And he's going to probably cost you another $25,000 for throwing stuff on the court. I'm going to need that also. But the level of frustration, when was the last time we saw the Nuggets look frustrated in a playoff series? We probably got to go all the way back to when they lost, when they got swept, if I'm not mistaken, by Golden State. That's the last time that we've seen them so frustrated, discombobulated. But the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're doing a number. Now, I know it's only 2 games, and Minnesota's going to have to come out and, like they said, weather the storm early because you know the Nuggets are going to come with an avalanche. But I haven't seen the Nuggets look this out of sorts, this out of kilter in a very, very long time. They're doing a number on the defending champs.
Stephen A. and Shannon, I think based on what we saw last night, Minnesota should be now relegated as the favorite because that was a defensive performance for the ages. I literally couldn't believe what I was watching. I was texting people during it. I can't believe how inept Denver looked offensively. And Stephen A., I love your story because I played against those teams. In fact, we played that Bulls team in the 97 playoffs. So I remember those teams very, very well. The one difference I'll say, though, is this. They weren't the defending champs that they did that to. These are the defending champs. And with a dude that's about to win his 3rd MVP, and they looked overwhelmed. They had the life squeezed out of them. And it was amazing. They had no response. I love what Mike Malone said. Because there's nothing else left to say. Yep, it was embarrassing. We were humiliated. We were dominated. And my question is, what are you going to do about it? And that's all I'm going to say to my team. And I'm going to find out. I'm calling the game, by the way, with Mark Jones on Friday night. I'm going to be there for game 3. Yeah. And I want to see Denver's best response. But Jamal Murray's got a situation we're going to get into now that might have something to do with the outcome of that game, too.
Don't sweat a swing and a miss thanks to insurance tokens from BetMGM. Add an MLB wager to your bet slip and activate your bet insurance token. If your bet with the token applied doesn't hit, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to a specified maximum amount. That's another chance to step up to the plate and bet on the action out there on the diamond. Go to your BetMGM account today to claim your bet insurance token and get your stake back in bonus bets if your MLB wager using the token doesn't win. Only at BetMGM, the king of sports books and official sports betting partner of MLB. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. or New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Term supply, lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Another huge storyline, guard Jamal Murray's actions, where he appears to throw a heating pad on the floor during live play. Warriors star Draymond Green weighed in on his podcast. Let's hear what he had to say about it.
I was just online, and I see people are like, oh, Jamal Murray's probably going to get suspended for throwing the heat pad. I mean, I didn't think he'd get suspended, although that was very dangerous. Somebody step on that A, it leaves a West by B, can really jack somebody up. But I didn't see that and be like, my first thought wasn't, he gets suspended. It's crazy how people just automatically start calling for suspensions these days. I just don't really understand that. But in saying that, man, Denver down bad right now.
Sure are. Shannon, do you think Jamal should be suspended for his actions?
Stephen A., you want to take off with this one first and I follow you up?
Go ahead. Go. Yeah, sure. No problem. I hope that he isn't suspended because I'm very fond of Jamal Murray, but that's not what this is about. This is about the fact that he committed an act that even Draymond Green himself concedes could have been very, very dangerous. That warrants a suspension for a game, or at the very least, a very, very stiff fine. Now, I can understand Draymond Green that not coming to his mind. Why would it? Of course you would feel that way. You're a player, first of all, a champion, second of all, but third and most importantly, you've had your share of suspensions, and some you might have deemed unfair. So of course you would feel that way. But that's why you have neutral eyes looking at this, not somebody jaded by being a participant in the profession and would be more prone to exercising a level of leniency towards one of their contemporaries. Jamal Murray, throughout his career, has been class personified. He has never done anything, as far as I can remember, legs, that he doesn't deserve to be criticized, besmirched, or anything in terms of his character as a person, as a man, as a professional. He's never done anything wrong. We're only talking about this incident and what this incident warrants based on its seriousness. Well, let's crystallize that. If you throw a heating pad on the floor, all right, you've endangered other players. Somebody could have tripped, they could have slipped, they could have twisted their ankles. We see people doing that all the time. That's number one. Number two, you were throwing it at the official. Well, you know that's not good. You know the NBA don't want you doing that. So you're doing that. Number three, you're doing it because y'all were getting your ass kicked.
Yeah.
Okay? And there's no way around that. And so taking those things into consideration, I don't wish for it for him because he's not some repeat offender. He's not some, and if somebody says, well, guess what? You know what? Give him a pass here because that's very uncharacteristic, out of character for him. I'm down for that. But strictly looking at the incident itself, if the NBA said, oh, you can't do that, you ain't playing next game, what would any of us really, really be able to say?
Nothing. Guess what, Stephen A.? There's a lot of guys up in Pelican Bay on a first-time offense. So don't give me that a first-time offense. He put people in harm's way. Good thing I think Michael Porter Jr. saw it, kind of kicked it, and then somebody picked it up. Now, earlier, he threw a towel. We got that, the highlighted that he threw a towel earlier before he threw the heating pack on the court. And then he did the money sign in front of the official. Now, Rudy Gobert got a $100,000 fine for that gesture. Jamal, you're going to have to understand. Remember all those heroic shots that you hit in the first series? You have to be able to handle disappointment with the same way you handle prosperity. When things are going good, you have to handle that the same way as when things are going bad. This is not a good look, and I understand. Frustration, when emotions are high, logic is low. But you can't have this. If he were to get suspended, would I come out here and stand on the soapbox and, oh, I can't believe they suspended Jamal Murray? Absolutely not. But I'm not going to advocate for him to get suspended either. But I just know this.
Right.
Somebody could have got seriously injured, and then what would they have said? Oh, that was a fluke. Fluke doesn't help it. Oh, that was not his intent. It was to get somebody's attention. Let me tell you something about intent, guys, having to be a criminal justice major. Intent only matters to the defendant because the person is equally as injured. So whether he intended to injure someone or not, had they gotten injured, it only would have mattered to Jamal Murray because that was not his intent. The person would have slipped and hurt themselves. Just be mindful of that, because a lot of times when we get frustrated, we do things because we're not thinking clearly. Been there, done that. Not a good look for you, Jamal. Not a good look for the Lakers. Excuse me, for the Nuggets. I'm not advocating that he gets suspended. But $200,000 fine, $250,000 fine, I think he learned his lesson.
Well, I agree with everything both of you said.
And by the way, Tim, before you chime in, I'm not advocating for him to be suspended either, although I would understand it. I'll be damned if I didn't feel Russell Westbrook should have been suspended. Again, I didn't call a damn league office about that. But you damn right he should have been suspended. Now I'm going to say it again. Go ahead.
Listen, right. I agree with everything you both said about Jamal Murray's character and his track record. It's impeccable. I agree. And nobody, by the way, wants him suspended less than I do because of what I said a few minutes ago. I'm going to be calling the game Friday. I don't want to see the Denver Nuggets limited. You have a champion cornered. They were just absolutely humiliated in game two. If you want to know what the best response they're going to have in this series, it's going to be on Friday night. And you need to be whole to be able to do that. So I don't want to see it either. I will say this. I will be shocked if he is not. Because the precedent you're setting, because of the potential for somebody to get hurt, they're very lucky nobody stepped in it. Two things could have happened. Rolled ankle. By the way, one of the worst sprained ankles I ever had. I was warming up before a game, jogging backwards along the sideline, and stepped on a television cable. About the same width as that. Rolled my ankle, missed the game. That could have easily been somebody. Carl Anthony Towns could have stepped on that. Or, you know what else? Those things are wet. You could step on the top of that, have it slide out, and now you strain a groin, pull a groin. Not only does it affect you in this game, it could affect you for the rest of the postseason. Players' safety was endangered. It was a reckless and careless act, and it showed no restraint on your emotions in the moment. That's why I'll be very surprised, because you almost have to set a precedent if you're the league going forward. You can't be throwing stuff onto the court if you're sitting on the bench. I mean, period. It can't be. How else are they going to penalize me? He didn't even get a technical at the moment.
At the official.
That's the problem. Right, and it's at an official to boot. So I'll be shocked. I don't want it to happen. I want to see these teams at full strength. I'll just be surprised if the league doesn't say, wait a second, it's almost uncharted territory. None of us could think of this happening before. From the bench, an object thrown onto the court by a player. We couldn't think of it.
Yeah.
Right? Could not think of it. So it's uncharted territory. I think the precedent the league's going to take is going to be Jamal Murray out for game three. I'll be very surprised if that doesn't happen.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. May is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, and First Take will celebrate all month long. Here's a special message.
Representation matters. You know, you see it in football, you see it in volleyball, you see it in softball, and now basketball. You see more Polynesians coming out to play basketball more because of representation and just seeing other people look like them and play like them. And you just see that and you want to be like them. So I think it's important because at such a young age, I didn't really have that Polynesian hooper that I really looked up to, especially female. I mean, you have the Peyton Sivas, the Robert Dillinghams, you have the Tolu Smiths. And just being able to have, you know, like the Tina Papals or the Alyssa Peelys and those type of idols in the game. You just want to be one of those, because at a young age, I didn't really get to have that pleasure of looking up to one as much as I wanted to. So I really want to be that inspiration for younger girls that are Polynesian and know that they can become someone like me and even better.
Jimmy Butler recently went viral for his comments on where the Miami Heat would be if he was able to play in the playoffs, but his team president, Pat Riley, not having it. Butler was seen in a video that circulated on social media talking about how the Boston Celtics and New York Knicks would be at home if he were playing, implying that his presence on the court with the Heat would have resulted in them not losing in the first round. Butler, of course, sprained his MCL during the play-in tournament, which led to him missing the first round. Riley spoke to the media yesterday, where he was asked his thoughts on Butler's comments.
For him to say that, you know, I thought, is that Jimmy trolling or is that Jimmy serious? You know, if you're not on the court playing against Boston or on the court playing against the New York Knicks, you should keep your mouth shut in your criticism of those teams.
All right. Who wants this one first? Stephen A., you want to go?
Let me add it, Steve. Let me add it,
okay, Steve. Go ahead.
All right,
let him
so
add
Shannon,
it. Go ahead.
Shannon, here's what I want to know. Are Riley's comments about Jimmy Butler, are they fair or are they foul?
Pat Riley comments remind me of what Kat did when he came to my podcast on Club Shay Shay. Now, Stephen A., we have officially the highest, most viewed sit-down interview in the history of YouTube. We passed Joe Rogan. He came.
Well-deserved. Well-deserved.
Thank you. Kat came with something to say. Pat Riley came to that press conference with something to say. Jimmy Butler gave him something else, because Jimmy Butler wasn't the only one. Now, he's the one that sticks out because he started with him. But he got in on Tyler Hero also, had a little bit for UD. Because I was like, why is Jimmy talking about what have been, what could have been, when he wasn't there? And Pat Riley being old school, Pat ain't about all that talking. Pat wants you to play. He wants you to play hard. He wants you to be quiet and go do your job. Well, Jimmy Butler was not quiet. He wasn't on the court to do his job, and that rubbed Pat Riley the wrong way. And Pat Riley voiced it. Pat Riley doesn't bite his tongue. You know exactly where you stand with Pat Riley. Was I surprised that he said this? I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised with the harshness. It seemed like, man, he had something on his chest, and he needed to get off. And that arrow was pointed at Jimmy Butler. Maybe because Jimmy got hurt, Jimmy was nicked a lot during the season. And we know one thing about them old school coaches, Stephen A., they want your butt on the court. Jimmy missing the amount of games that he missed and then coming back in the postseason and only being able to play one game, it riled Riley. And it rubbed him the wrong way. So a part of me I'm just surprised at with the harshness in which he said it. Not that he said it, because I think he could have said it in a little milder tone, but that's not who he is. So I'm surprised at the harshness in which he said what he said directed at Jimmy Butler.
Shannon Sharp, you're surprised. Am I correct in assuming you don't know Pat Riley? You haven't talked to him. You haven't interviewed him. Is that correct?
I have not.
Okay. I've known Pat Riley for almost 30 years. I'm not surprised at all. I knew what was coming the second I saw that sound from Jimmy Butler. And anybody who knows Pat Riley that tells you they were surprised is lying. If they tell you they didn't know he would come out like that, they are lying. Anybody, and I mean anybody, that knows Pat Riley could have predicted exactly what the hell you saw. And here is the reason why. Pat Riley has nothing to prove. Dwayne Wade is the greatest star in the history of this franchise. They call it affectionately Wade County. Where am I at right now? Where do I frequent, Shannon Sharp? You know I know this town. And
real
I am telling you. Shannon.
Yeah.
There we go. Right? Shannon, I'm telling you. It's Pat Riley town now. This is Pat Riley town. I don't give a damn who you are. This is his town. He's the one that established the culture. He's the one that plucked Eric Spoelstra from being a video guy to what a Hall of Fame coach. He is the one that makes decisions about this basketball franchise, obviously with the blessing of Mickey Arison. And Pat Riley has won as a player. He has won as a coach. He has won as an executive. When you say the winner within, it ain't just the title of his book. It's who the hell he is. And so when he looks at Jimmy Butler, we might look at Jimmy Butler and say, yo, he got Miami to the finals two times in the last 4 years. You know what Pat Riley looking at? Where's the ring? I don't see no ring. And you talking. I know you sent the Knicks home last year. I know you sent Milwaukee home last year. But Denver sent us home. And this year, you missed games. This year, you wasn't in the postseason. You guaranteed $48.8 million next year. You guaranteed a player option at over 52 after that. But where's the chip? That's Pat Riley. And what Pat Riley is saying to Jimmy Butler, you talking. But I don't have what I want yet. And I want what I want. Be quiet until you get it for me. That's what he's saying.
All right. We're leaving.
I'm telling you what I know.
Yeah. He's old school, right?
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Requires Gemini device and additional paid subscriptions to watch Netflix and other third-party apps. Terms and restrictions apply.